From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio. Well, it's been a wild start to 2013. Washington careened over the fiscal cliff and then bounced back. Elizabeth Warren is poised to become the senior senator from Massachusetts. How odd is that? One day after taking office. Meanwhile, Barney Frank is out of office, but he's asking Governor Deval Patrick to appoint him as interim senator. That'll happen right after John Kerry becomes Secretary of State. Meanwhile, Scott Brown, Ed Markey seem ready to fight it out of the ballot box to be Kerry's permanent replacement. Joining me to talk about all of that and more in our Week in Review are Jack Sullivan. He's a senior investigative reporter for Commonwealth Magazine, Dave Wedge, Boston Herald reporter, and Joanna Weiss, a columnist for the Boston Globe. Welcome to all of you.
Happy New Year.
Well, let's start, though, with Mayor Menino. Dave, you were, again, one of the privileged people to meet with the mayor yesterday in his office.
Is that a privilege?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, we called yesterday to talk to him, and they said, oh, he's got a meeting at noon. Well, clearly it was a press conference with you all, so I don't know why that they're so secretive about all that stuff.
I think it's because, you know, myself and Andrew Ryan over at the Globe, we're there every day, and we bang down Dot Joyce's door just trying to get interviews with the guy. He's been very elusive.
Banging down her door.
I know. I don't know.
Well, why not just say, you know, we're having a press conference with the regular city hall?
I don't know. I mean, there was a couple of there was two TV stations there too, mm-hmm. so there were, you know, there was no reporters, but the only reporters were me and Andrew and Peter Galzinis, our columnist. But you know, the mayor looked good. You know, I was there, you know, when he was in Spalding about a month ago now, I guess. And when I left that, I think I said on the show, I was kind of sad. I felt bad. But yesterday I left feeling pretty good. I mean, whether he runs again, I don't know. I think it's looking more like he will. But he looked great. His color's back.
Still can't walk, though.
Still can't walk. But, you know, I don't know, you know, how when the last time he shook his hand is. Yeah. But his hands were really huge and bloated before he went into the hospital, and he looked really bloated himself. He's lost all that bloat.
Has he lost weight too?
He's lost a lot of weight. I mean, if I had to estimate, he looks like he's lost at least 30 or more pounds. Hmm. But it's good weight that he lost. Hmm. It's water retention, and you know,
I'd like to get that diet.
Yeah, really.
Diabetes. I think the diabetes. I think that going undiagnosed for such a long time was dangerous, and you know, I don't know a lot about diabetes, but I have to think that if it didn't go diagnosed much longer, he could have died.
I think that might be part of his problem, though. That, you know, when you say that he looks good, it's all relative. He looks good compared to sitting in the SUV greeting kids with an open window, you know. I think one of his problems that he's going to have if and when he decides about running is he's okay now because he's been in therapy. He's been doing occupational therapy. He's been doing physical therapy. He's now living at the Parkman House where they have elevators to take him up and down to the bedroom. But he now has this going on 15-year history of ailments coming. Mm-hmm. It's the diabetes. It's the cancer. It's the knee. It's you know, a wide variety of issues. Mm-hmm. And I think it is going to be an issue if he runs. And I think it's a legitimate issue as well.
Well, sure, because if he runs and he wins and then something happens again, which it looks like it might, you know, that's certainly possible, then what? What's the succession? Who's the heir apparent? Who
Steve
runs
Murphy.
The show? We'll be asking the same
questions
that we've
been
asking.
Steve Murphy's going to be Suffolk County Sheriff.
Yeah, you know.
Speed Ron, mm-hmm. Rob Gonzalez.
Why not let the public have the choice of succession because there's an opportunity to do that?
Well, who would dare take him on?
Well, that's the good question. I don't know.
Who? Will Dorchina is already in the race. Yeah. He ran some Haitian newspaper in Boston. Yeah. He's Linda Dorchina Forey's estranged brother. They don't speak.
Oh, is that right? Why not?
Yeah, I don't know. There's some sort of family stuff. Yeah, it's my gig. but he's already in the race. He's not someone that, in my opinion, can beat the mayor.
No.
But
there's still an opportunity for city councilors if anyone has, you know, the chutzpah, the gumption to step up.
Well, the problem is, you know, the longer the mayor drags it out, the harder it is for someone to get in and start raising money. And he knows that. He did this 4 years ago.
Well, anybody could jump in now. He's not stopping them from doing that.
No, that's right. But There's a difference between,
there's no reason for him to announce it. There's absolutely no reason.
Right, well, but I think there is reason for somebody of prominence to get in. And I think they need to, you know, and there's
who's
any
that person?
Well, it may have to be someone from outside. It may have to be the business, the unnamed business person that no one's talked about. And, you know, and that kind of stewardship, a very un-Menino, you know, technocratic, just a different brand of stewardship from the city rather than an inside guy, that might be appealing at this
moment. Yeah, or you might have Jack Hart. You know, he's always a possibility. He's always hanging around there. Mike Ross, if, you know,
he would never take Menino on.
He wouldn't, but I think if you take a look at it and you see, if Menino isn't running, would I run? I think that's what people have to ask themselves.
Yeah,
and there's any number of people that would. You do it now, maybe you force his hand. And I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Yeah. I just don't see anyone getting in until the mayor makes a decision.
I mean,
John Connolly, I know, is making some
Dan
moves
Connolly.
Out. No, John.
Oh, John.
The city councilor.
I think Dan, too.
Well, Dan Connolly, I mean, we reported a couple weeks ago that he said he will run
if the mayor doesn't run. Yeah.
But John Connolly, the city councilor, is also on that list. But he has been doing some things that kind of indicate that maybe he's thinking about it. But I just don't see anyone getting in until the mayor makes a decision. I really don't.
Which is so in keeping with his persona. He's like the Don, you know? He holds all the cards.
I mean, and really, this micromanaging of his appearances, I find it extremely aggravating. I'll just go on the record for that.
I gave him a little bit of a hard time yesterday because my taxes went up $500 this year.
Mine went down. Do you believe that?
I always say,
call me if your taxes went down. I always
your
say that. I
went
say that
down in the Back Bay.
In the Back Bay.
Are you kidding
well,
me?
Well, but the value of my house went down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
so did mine. But my taxes
went up.
I'm in Dorchester.
The first year I bought that place, my taxes went up 58%.
Wow.
58%. So whatever they went down was like 1%.
You're still right.
Yeah.
So believe me,
I'm mine went up, there, and then the mayor said, well, "So did mine."
Yeah.
When I said, "Mayor, my taxes went up $500," so did mine.
The first year, mine went up $6,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot.
Yes, it is.
But I think the micromanaging piece that you just brought up, I think that's indicative of what's happening right now. Yes, the city ran well while he was in, but I think it kind of showed that maybe he doesn't have his hands on the controls right now. And the fact that he's being managed rather than the other way around.
Yeah. He's got some good young people around him, though. This kid Mitch Weiss, his chief of staff, is a very smart guy.
But he's
really
not elected.
No, he's not, but I'm just saying, I mean, you know, part of being a leader is putting good people in place, and he's done that. You know, the city does run well. I don't hear a lot of complaints. I mean, I don't know about you, Emily. I mean,
no, not at all.
I live in the city.
No complaints.
I mean, the crime is relatively reasonable. You know, the streets are in good shape.
City is still dirty.
You think the city's dirty, huh?
Do you? Back Bay is. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad.
When you go to other cities, it is. Yeah. It absolutely is.
This is the Dorchester Back Bay thing. But in Dorchester,
Dorchester's pristine.
My streets, Dodd Ave is very nice. There's a woman out there from the Parks Department that's out there picking trash every single morning. Yeah.
Morrissey Boulevard could use a little cleanup.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the Globies throwing their coffee.
I mean,
it's
the street traffic. It's
no,
the sidewalks.
We're sustainable.
Are
you kidding? We all use the plastic.
Okay. I don't want to pick on smokers because I have no problem with smokers. You know, smoke your lungs out. I really don't care. But they drop the butts. On those, in the cracks, on the you know, the cobblestone and the bricks, and it's, you know.
That's always been my complaint. Yeah. There's just not enough trash cans or enough disposables for.
If that's the worst problem,
that's
we
true.
Have,
right.
Okay.
You're right. Everything else is pretty.
Yeah, there's
good.
No cartels kidnapping people, so we're in good shape.
Yeah, the city hall runs pretty smoothly. I said I had a great experience there, just changing a, you know. A parking permit. It was so simple. You know? So I don't like the fact that you have to go in there to do a parking.
Well,
you can do
all that stuff online.
Not you can't do that.
Can't
parking
leave a voicemail.
Permits? Well, they have the new. You got to read the Herald. They have a truck, a city truck that's going to be coming around.
Oh, I know. No, I know. Thing. I talked to that to the people about that.
Yeah, and
the
you city, can. They're going to be doing. It's going to be a mobile.
See, the problem with the parking permit, you have to basically prove your firstborn. You know, you have to come with so much identity and proof that you pay and you still live there. And
they have though. I mean, not just in terms of permitting, but in terms of technology. And this does go to this goes to the hiring and you know that particular Menino stewardship. They have done a lot of interesting technological innovations that help make things smooth. You're at where you can report your pothole, the Hubway bikes. There's some...
Yeah, except for voicemail. They should have voicemail.
That's
true.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Back to the
80s. But the apps are good. Like that Citizen Connect app works.
It's really smart.
Works great.
It's really smart.
All right, moving along here. That is an odd concept, isn't it, that Elizabeth Warren could be the senior senator? She's got to be.
After 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, she's got to be. It's like...
It's pretty crazy. I mean, considering that, you know, she unseated Scott Brown, yeah. you know, and the race, you know, the most expensive Senate race in U.S. history, and now she's going to walk in there, supposedly a freshman. She's going to be new. You know, she's yeah. going to be the senior senator.
She's in a very interesting position nationally because she's got this real national profile. Everybody knows who she is. It was one of the most watched races mm-hmm. in the country. And yet, in terms of the institution, and this is a really clubby, old-school institution, she has zero clout. And, you know, everyone's telling her to use the Hillary Clinton model, which is, you know, Hillary Clinton came in super famous. Everyone knew who she was. Mm-hmm. She laid low. She was the junior senator. She did everything sort of quietly and in order, and it worked very well for her. Elizabeth Warren is the senior senator. She's in a different position. It's going to be interesting to see how she chooses to act.
I find one of the most interesting aspects of it, Glenn Johnson pointed it out today, about the fact that if it wasn't for Republican opposition to her, you know, heading up that bureau, Scott Brown would be getting sworn back in again today. You know, she's because of the 44 Republicans that blocked her nomination.
Oh, you think somebody else would have beat Scott Brown? He's saying that she would have been named to the
right,
Consumer Protection Council.
Someone else would have run against Scott
no,
Brown.
No, and I do think someone else would have beat Scott Brown.
That is possible.
I think it was a Democratic wave. Yeah. I think it wasn't Elizabeth Warren that beat Scott Brown. It was President Obama that beat Scott Brown.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree because I think Scott Brown still had an awful lot of good guy capital going into it that I think he burned as far as taking her on a personal basis. I think if it was Capuano or any of the other possible Senate candidates that Brown would have won.
Well, a woman, it helped for her to be a woman. The National Republicans helped Scott Brown
yep.
lose. I mean, you know, their rightward turn is so un-Massachusetts that she was able to make a really good case that you just don't want those guys in charge. And that was a big argument for
and
her.
And I think the Democratic Party, you know, in Massachusetts learned a very valuable lesson from the Martha Coakley race where they learned how to lose. And they learned that they need to get out there. And if you look at the numbers in the cities in the Scott Brown, Elizabeth Warren race, off the charts. I mean, she completely destroyed him in Boston, mm-hmm. which didn't happen in the Martha Coakley race.
Right. The other thing, though, is if it's somebody other than her, I'm not sure that you have that people's pledge. And if you don't have that people's pledge, then you have all this national money coming in that helped Scott Brown the first time around. And he also had to take ownership for these attacks that he put on her. You know, he didn't have the surrogates doing it. And I think that that's what's hurting him right now. You know, his very first comment out of the box is on
Ed Markey's
residence.
I thought it was very effective.
I think
Scott Brown has.
Somebody else says it, Emily. I'm not sure.
Really?
Well, that's less personal. The Native American thing, I really do think he took that too far. And you're right. Without Karl Rove's money behind that, it was all on Scott Brown. And his staff looked bad and he looked bad. I agree with Emily that the Ed Markey residency thing, that hits that's not quite so personal. That hits something that everyone
wants to understand. Basically true.
You know, I think we all know where I stand on the Native American thing. But
you want to remind us?
How did Scott Brown take that too far? It's still an unanswered question.
She won.
She's literally.
She's
still, according to her, she's the first Native American female senator. According to her.
Wait, she said that?
No, but I mean, she's.
No.